Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
We are here.
Think of the time.
Don't have to think about it right here, right now.
Love so strange.
Voluntary mini camp begins today, Stoke. We're going to get to that.
While I try my best.
We have a bunch of interesting conversations locked and loaded, but we got to start with what happened last night. The atmosphere in the Pepsi Center, I can't remember. Well, let me just say this. It's been 10 years for me personally to see a first period that was as exciting in the NHL playoffs as what we saw last night in the Pepsi Center. That place was so wound up, and the Avalanche absolutely punched Calgary in the mouth. And as a real underdog, take a 2-1 lead in this first round.
Yeah, that was impressive. They were just skating at a different level. They had a different intensity than Calgary. It's fun to watch. When you look at Calgary being the one seed, and you're looking at the able to take game two, and now you have it set out in front of you. Can you take that next step at home, which they were able to do, which I think, you know, says a lot about that team. But the way they came out and the way they just jumped on them and said, it's not happening tonight, to me was really, really impressive. And they were just skating at a whole nother level. And then Calgary, you know, they resorted to, hey, let's try to fight every other,
right,
you know, in between every other whistle, just like, I mean, it was ridiculous, but
It shows you how frustrated they are.
That's right. That's right. Like, these guys are just moving at a different level. We got to resort to something else. We got to try to intimidate them. Well, guess what? That's not going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It was fun. I mean, that was a really a fun game to watch. That place was rocking. And the Avs gave them a lot to, you know, get hyped up about.
Yeah.
And get fired up about.
Yeah.
The way that they played.
Yeah.
On a mission. And right when they got back in the game, nope, another go Avalanche.
Yep, bingo.
Yep.
And that's what the Nuggets couldn't give the Pepsi Center crowd this past week. Sustained energy. And that's what we're hoping for tonight. We'll get to that in a second. But it was as electric of an atmosphere as you will see league-wide in the NHL. What was happening last night in Denver, Colorado. Unbelievable. And Cale McCarr, are you kidding
me? Pronounce Caleb McCarr.
No, it's just Cale.
Cale.
Cale, C-A-L-E. And McCarr, M-A-K-A-R.
McCarr.
McCarr, yep. And it's okay to ask because he just signed with the team about 96 hours ago. And here he is, 20 years old. Of course, everyone knows he's the Hobie Baker Award winner. As you know, that's college hockey's top player. He joins the team in the midst of the NHL playoffs. Now, this happened a couple years ago, and it does happen. I remember I was at Tyson Jost's first game where I think he went from like North Dakota State and joined the Avs at the end of the regular season. But Cale McCarr was just playing in like the Frozen Four. And they lose to Minnesota Duluth on Saturday night. Saturday night, he is in an Avalanche jersey just a couple days later in a game that matters a lot. And not only was he there, he was thriving, scores that goal number three.
He delivered.
I mean, from McKinnon in that first period, it was one of the coolest things I can remember seeing. And just how, just the unbridled joy of this kid. You talk about how to win your teammates over.
Is there a playbook in hockey?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, I don't. It's not like football, but yeah, there's certainly, you know, they call them sets.
Right, like off of face-offs and
yeah,
stuff.
Yep.
I was just thinking, I mean, like, it's tough to do.
Yeah.
It's tough to do. You know, you're playing in college, you're playing in the Frozen Four, next thing you know, you're in the NHL playoffs. In a, you know, like you said, in a game that matters. In an important game. And you score a goal!
Nuts.
Really, really cool story. Good for him.
It's like, it's so unusual. And here's the thing. He's a defenseman. Like, it is so unusual. This kid's talent, he's considered to be one of, like, the purest blue line talents that has come out of college hockey in years. He was the fourth overall pick in 2017. College hockey, they can just keep your rights. You go back to school, you know, and then you can just join when you're done. But it just, that story is something that I think fans of the Avalanche are going to remember forever. This 20-year-old who just shows up, and it's just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. No, yeah, it really is. What a great story it was. What a great game it was. They're up 2-1, man. They're up 2-1 after the first game, losing 4-0, right?
Yep, 4-0.
You know, it looks like, okay, Avalanche are kind of content to just be in the dance, be at the party, and then they found a way to steal game two. You know, pulled the goalie, tied it up, won in overtime, and then they come back home, and Calgary's on notice. And they, to me, when you can do that as an 8 seed and put the pressure on that team, and you saw the pressure getting to them, you know, with the fighting and all the extracurricular activities, that's when you know you got them. You know, that's when you know they're thinking about you, and they know, hey, we're in trouble here. We're in for a fight. Like, fight for our playoff lives.
Yeah.
This team is for real.
And I like the way that Mike Evans said it this morning. He said, we got to remember, Calgary is like an upstart team in a sense that they don't have any, like, rich history to look back upon and hold that, like, hey, we've been here before. We faced this type of adversity before, and we figured it out, and we've won a championship. This isn't the Caps. This isn't Pittsburgh. This isn't the Blackhawks. This is the Calgary who is getting hit in the face for the first time when they're supposed to be the bully and they're not reacting right. And I'll tell you this, and I know this is totally beside the point, but on the other side, we're about to see, if this goes down tonight like I think it's going to go down, one of the greatest upsets in the history of sports, in American sports, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning, who tied the NHL record for points in a season. So you're talking about one of the greatest regular seasons of all time. Number one in the NHL in power play. Number one in the NHL in man down defense, power play kill. And so number one in both, and are down 3-0 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So that conversation that we were having yesterday, how like the NHL playoffs are like the NCAA tournament, we're living it right now. So crazy. So crazy. And we're going to get to the Rocks here, too, because they won back-to-back games for the first time since Game 1 and Game 2. And they,
been a while.
Yeah. And Nolan goes yah-yah in consecutive games, and even Ian Desmond got involved. So let's hold the phone on that. We're going to get back to that in just a second. But join us next week. How about this, Stoke? Another War Room coming up. Wednesday, April 24th at 1 p.m., our Fan War Room Draft Special. NFL Draft kicks off on Thursday, so we got your back on Wednesday. Food will be provided by our friends at Brothers Barbecue.
Yes.
So be the fourth caller right now to win a pair of VIP tickets. 303-713-1043. It'll be a great atmosphere. The place will be buzzing. The food will be hot and amazing, and you can be part of it. Fourth caller right now, 303-713-1043. All right. The boys are back over at Dove Valley. Voluntary minicamp begins today. So what are the Broncos trying to get done? That's next. The boys are back
in town.
Yes, you just got back today.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. Oh, man. Voluntary minicamp begins in about an hour or so. We may even check in with Cecil Lammy. Practice may be inside. He'll be there, whether it's inside or outside, regardless. He'll be there and sort of be our eyes. So maybe we can check in with him during a break. But Stoke, you've been there. What are these mini camp practices like? What goes on here?
Well, it's going to be different this year for these guys because it's new offense, new coaches. Last year, all the coaches were coming back for the most part, right? You had a few changes there, but for the most part, it was Bill Musgrave was offensive coordinator. Joe Woods was a defensive coordinator. So all the foundation had been laid the year before. And Musgrave tweaked a few things, but you still had pretty much the same coaches in the building. This year, obviously, a lot different, a lot of change going on. So Everybody's just getting to know each other, getting, you know, the feel of how things are going to be run by Vic Fangio, how he wants things done. And, you know, that tone and tempo will be set by the assistant coaches out there and Vic, right? You know, in the team meeting today before practice. You know, first thing you do, you're going to have a team meeting and you're going to talk about expectations and what he wants to see and how he wants the operation to go and what he expects, all of those things. And that has already been relayed to his assistant coaches who will go out there on the practice field and make sure that everything is structured and the tempo is like, you know, Vic wants it and like they want it. So, but for me, you know, right now, all you're trying to do, especially offensively, defensively, you know, those guys, they don't really have to think a whole lot. I mean, it's just like, okay, just go, you know, sack the quarterback, make an interception, play cover two, play single high safety, you know, just go hit somebody, right? Not a lot of thinking playing defense. I'm just kidding.
Of course you are.
A little bit of thinking, a little bit.
Of course you are.
Not as much as on offense, okay? But offensively, I mean.
You do mean that legitimately, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%. I mean, it's, look.
Because defensively, you know, like, you're in a reaction position.
Right. I mean, you're calling, you can only call so many coverages in the secondary. Offensively, I mean, you got a million different concepts and pass patterns and personnel groupings and formations that you can have. You know, I mean, one time you might be outside or inside. I mean, if you play corner, you play corner. You know, you're out there. You play on the right side, and that's where you stay. Who's coming out there? I got man-to-man. Okay, I cover that guy. Or I got cover two. I just stay right here in the flat. I mean, it's not like rocket science for those guys, right? I mean, it's a hard thing to do.
Sure.
It's a hard thing to do, like, to play cornerback. It's not easy, but it's really not rocket science out there. All right, offensively, there is a lot that goes into being a good offense. Attention to detail. So that's what they're doing offensively, just laying the foundation of the playbook, new playbook, and you're starting from, you know, the basics. The elementary school playbook. I mean, it's just the basics that you're starting from. Snap count, huddle, all of those things. Like, it's different. How does Rich Gangarello want it?
Right.
You know, it's different everywhere. What's the huddle structure? What's the snap count? All of those things that you just don't even think of as a fan or as a, you know, just you're looking out there, okay, well, they're going to be throwing the ball around, working on passes and this and that. They got a long way to go here. First thing first, snap count.
So this has got to be some of the same stuff that you'll do first day when you're coaching high school football.
Yes.
Just
absolutely.
Get on the same fundamental page with.
That's right.
You're down to the studs.
Yep.
Is this more of a. When the Broncos situation might be a little bit different because it's going to be so much newness and so much install. But the question that I want to ask is this more for physical conditioning, or is this more of you're going to class?
Yes, mental. All mental. It's not going to be a lot of physical stuff. You know, you can't hit. I mean, receivers will be running and stuff, but offensive line, I mean, those guys don't move but within a five-yard space. I mean, so it's all mental stuff. Snap count, huddle, plays, you know, just the basic stuff, but it's more mental than anything else. Right now, and you want to get as much accomplished so that when you do start picking up the pace, that you know what, that stuff that we did on April 16th, okay, we don't have to do that again. That was the foundation laid, and now we can just not think. But it's baby steps right now. I mean, that's what it is. It is baby steps, and they got a lot that they need to accomplish and put in and install. And it's not an easy thing to do, and that's why when you have change. Constantly, it's hard to be successful in football. And you're looking at it right now. I mean, these guys are literally going over the snap count, huddle formation, like who lines up where? You know, where the receivers line up? Okay, where does this guy line up? And I mean, that's just where you're at right now. And so you think of some of the teams right now that have had the same system in place.
Yeah, Patriots, Seattle.
Patriots. Find some Seattle.
Okay, Seattle.
We're still here.
see what happens, Zach? See what happens? If you leave the door open at all, Stephen Priest is going to find that opening, and he's going to pounce. And he's going to play it. And that's what happened.
Oh, Lord.
So a team that's had structure, they've had the same quarterback, they've had an offensive coordinator. I mean, they are working on, you know, already just like the little details of getting better, maybe installing a few new things. We want to work on these things. The Broncos are working on their huddle and snap count today. Think about that for a second. They got a long ways to go.
Wow. It sounds like Pee-wee stuff.
That's what it is. Exactly what it is. Now, you don't have to spend as much time as you do it on Pee-wee, but...
Hope not. That,
right.
No, DeMarcus, no.
You left the door open there for me a little bit, but I'm going to pass on that one.
All right. You know what? Even from a more human standpoint, there's a large portion of the human beings over there that are still trying to learn each other's names.
That's right.
These are new coaches with a whole bunch of new players. How many players are over there today? 90?
It took Jano how long to learn his coaches last year?
I was just going
to
say. It's like week four.
Right.
He's like,
Mahomes. Coach Mahomes.
But even just a week ago, he's like, I haven't met with that guy.
Right, yeah.
He's like, well, wait, Jano, golly.
Yeah, I think there's 90. I think the roster's 90
guys.
Yeah. So learning coaches learning players' names. I mean, it's a lot going on. They got a long way to go, and so that's why they get this extra practice time. It's great for them. They need it, you know, especially offensively, a lot more so than defensively. They need all the time that they can get to try to get up to speed here. And so do the coaches, by the way.
Sure,
they got to get on the same page with each other.
Got to remember, Vic's never done this before either. So just figuring out the order of operations and how he actually likes it is going to be something unto itself as well. All right. The direction we're about to go here is something that I've been thinking about for about 17 hours in a row here.
Wow, like 17 hours in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm going to say something bold when we come back about a Denver Bronco.
Well, and there's a story that came out today, too, and that you had talked about before that I want to get to later on.
Yes.
But it's going to be in this next segment.
Yes. And you're not going to want to miss it because it's a first-hand story between me and Kevin Garnett. I've told it one time before, but new details have come out having to do that what happened to me has happened to others, and it just came out. But first, God, I want to go right into that. But first, I'm going to say something bold when we get back about Bradley Chubb Stoke, and I want you to tell me if it's crazy.
Okay.
It's next. I believe that Bradley Chubb is about to be launched into the conversation as the best defensive player in the National Football League. And I'll take it a step further. I expect him to be there. What got me thinking about this, and I know I just came out hot with a huge statement, okay? And I'm gonna have you try to be my checks and balances here, Stoke.
Okay.
And you can tell me if I'm bugging. But a year ago, I remember making a equally strong statement where I said Bradley Chubb is going to walk in the league and my expectation for him is to be double-digit sacks out the gate. And I was called ridiculous and foolish, and it turns out he was...
Laughed at, mocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those things.
And it turns out that's exactly what happened. And at a certain point in the last quarter of the season, he's flirting with the all-time rookie record of Javon Kearse. Just a couple sacks away from it. Here's why I'm saying this. What got me thinking about this was listening to our buddy James Palmer on the NFL Network talking about Bradley Chubb and his study habits this offseason. He wasn't studying Von Miller. He wasn't studying Bruce Smith. He wasn't studying Reggie White. He was studying Khalil Mack. I want you to listen to this.
What he did this offseason now that he has a new head coach in Vic Fangio is he went and spent a ton of time watching the way Fangio used Khalil Mack with the Chicago Bears. And he's doing the due diligence on his own before he even started meeting with the team. And now they've gotten together. You might be seeing things like Von Miller, Bradley Chubb on the same side rushing the passer. They're going to be moved around a little bit more with Fangio. And that's one of the things Chubb wanted to prepare himself for. He thinks he's a versatile player. He thinks he's a guy that can play multiple vulnerable spots, and he's willing to do that, but did say it's going to be a little bit tougher what they're going to be asked to do up front for Vic Fangio.
The key component there for me is that Bradley Chubb was not asked to study Khalil Mack. He's doing it on his own. Bradley Chubb loves football and wants to be a great player. That's a good start.
Yes.
Now, quickly, and I'm going to just kind of go through this hastily, I want to talk about the physical comparison between Chubb and Mack. Bradley Chubb is 6'4", 275. Khalil Mack is 6'3", 247. He's bigger in terms of height, and he's heavier. Bradley Chubb's arms are nearly an inch longer than Khalil Mack's. They ran the exact same 40 at the combine, despite the weight difference. Bradley Chubb did 24 reps at 225. That was more than Khalil Mack. In the three cone drill, there was less than 3/4 of a single second difference, despite a 20-pound weight difference between the two. Khalil Mack's rookie year, he started every game. Bradley Chubb, rookie year, started every game. Mack's rookie year, 4 sacks. Bradley Chubb's rookie year, 12 sacks. Khalil Mack's rookie year, 12 quarterback hits. Bradley Chubb's rookie year, 21 quarterback hits. Mack's rookie year, 1 forced fumble. Chubb, 2 forced fumble. Pro Football Reference has adjusted value that basically assigns a single number to every player since 1960. Bradley Chubb's rated better across the board as a rookie. Bradley Chubb's 12 sacks as a rookie Stoke is more than 3 of the 5 seasons Khalil Mack has had as an NFL pro. And now you're telling me that Khalil Mack is going to go from year 1 to year 2, be on the opposite side of Von Miller, and have Vic Fangio, a defensive-minded coach that we saw the way that he was able to get the most out of Khalil Mack this past year, that's who's going to be coaching Bradley Chubb, the same guy that Mack himself called an evil genius. And ideally, the Broncos will be playing with a lead a whole heck of a lot more than they did a year ago.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that one.
All right.
All the other stuff you gave was facts, but let's just wait and see on that last one.
Okay.
Let's not jump to conclusions here too quick.
Okay.
We've seen bad offense
fair
in the last
enough.
Few years.
Fair enough. So okay. I won't give him the benefit of that doubt. He just did what he did with Case Keenum and Bill Musgrave.
Right. Yeah.
Leading that
yep.
side of the ball.
Yep.
I said all of that to say, why can't Bradley Chubb in his second year, the generational talent, the 5th overall pick that we passed on all the Hall of Fame 5 or 3 of the Hall of Fame 5 to get Bradley Chubb? I believe Bradley Chubb is going to be the best defensive player in the National Football League in year 2.
Wow.
So be my judicial branch here.
You're talking about the best.
Be my checks and balances
so
here.
He's gonna just one up Von?
He's
gonna look better than Von this year.
That's right.
Wow.
Am I talking crazy?
I don't think you are. I think you're making a lot of sense. I mean you backed it up. You compared those two. And I think when we look at Khalil Mack, I don't know it seems like he's had, a 25 sack season last year, and 2 years before that, it was a 20 sack season. It's just like, I don't know why. Why don't, when I look at his stats, it's like, oh, that's all the sacks he had? I thought he had,
yeah.
50 last year. I don't know. I mean, is it because he has them, on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, or is it because of the trade? And then, the first game they played Aaron Rodgers and he was down. I mean, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at Bradley Chubb and what he will be getting this year. And he should be better, right, going into year 2. He should be better with the coach, Vic Fangio, and staff. Having Von Miller on the other side, a bulked-up Von.
Mm-hmm.
10 more pounds,
mm-hmm.
Von Miller.
That's right.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities, that's for sure. I like where your head's at, though, and I like the facts that you gave. So I'm not going to sit here and call you crazy or call you like that's ridiculous at all, because I do expect him to be really, really good this year. But
I know it's a tall order I just put out there. I'm projecting a lot.
I mean, when you framed it the way you did, I said, all right, okay. I like it. I like it. I personally am not ready to go there, but look, I can respect the fact that you went there and say, all right, let's see it, because you gave a lot of good facts there. And it's, you know.
Physically, right. He's a special human being. Mentally, he's got the willingness to put in the work before they even get started. He's been studying like he's been in summer school. And now he's got Vic Fangio.
In summer school.
That's right.
You seem like you probably went to summer school every year.
I was a candidate early, I'll tell you.
I had to go to summer school one time.
Did you?
Yep. In college.
Oh, in college?
Yeah, in college. Racquetball was the course.
Come on.
No. Serious. They had passed this rule where it's like, you know, 15, 30, 45, or I don't know, 20, 40, 60. That's like the percentage you had to have towards your degree. By, you know, after your freshman year, it had to be 20%, sophomore 20%, junior 40%, something like that, right? Mm-hmm, they had this, I don't know if they still have it or not. And all of a sudden, I got this call, like, at the end of the semester, like, hey, you haven't got that 75%. You're at, like, 74%. You need to take another class. You can take whatever you want. Any class. I'm like, all right.
So you took racquetball.
Took racquetball. Love it.
And you still play racquetball to this day.
Yep. Loved the course. Had a great teacher and had a lot of fun in the course. And, passed it and still love. That's a good thing, right? If you don't pass racquetball,
right, you're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I still love playing it to today.
I'll tell you this. The only class I ever failed, officially failed. Now, I know for a fact I got pushed through in math twice in middle school because I was a headache.
I think everybody can tell.
They did not want to have me back. I was not a good behavioral issue in addition to a bad student.
In addition to the addition stuff.
Right.
Twofold. Wow.
Right. Which is a multiple. But
no, addition is a problem searching for an answer.
The only class I actually ever failed, and I'm not making this up, keyboarding.
All you gotta do is show up and give effort, and you didn't do that.
Keyboarding.
Is that
I
right?
Had no, or I had was no it? Frame of reference. I grew up without a computer in my house. So the first time in middle school, I was putting my hands on a computer for the first time.
So keyboarding as in like computers?
Keyboarding, yes.
How many words like a minute? Piano keyboarding.
No. Like words per minute. And like, can you close your eyes and know where the letters are?
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Failed it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It's a tough one.
Miss Coriano. It's still stuck in my craw. Yeah. Could have pushed me through. Anyway,
could have pushed me through. You could have done the work.
Well,
don't blame the teacher.
Anyway,
millennials always want to blame the teacher or the coach.
She ended up, I can say this, years later, she ended up getting fired in an inappropriate relationship with a student. And it wasn't even me.
That's besides the point, Zach. And you were happy she got fired, I can tell. Goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Poor Miss Coronado.
All right. Holy moly.
I like that, though. Look, Bradley Chubb should come out and be a dominant force this year. He really should. He was a number 5 overall pick. He had 12 sacks last year. 12. I always want to throw a hook on that. Sounds better. 12 sacks. You said it last year. He ended up doing it. He should be a lot better this year, more comfortable, just like, you know, and that was the thing about Bradley Chubb that we talked about when we saw him, and I saw him playing, is you could tell he was hesitant. He was thinking a lot. And then all of a sudden, the switch flipped, and he talked about it. He's like, okay, I got to stop thinking so much. I just got to play ball. And this year, there's no more of that. I mean, this should be a lot better Bradley Chubb this year. And I'm not talking about just like sack numbers, like, okay, go get 18 sacks. I'm just talking about being a force, being a presence, being a dominating presence where we watch the game, we're like, oh, I can't wait to watch Bradley Chubb. You know, right. It's all Von Miller, but it could happen. It could happen.
It could. It's not crazy, and I'm expecting him to do it. I really am. And we can return to this conversation at the end of the 2019 season and see how right or wrong I was. But I believe this in my gut.
Yeah, it's called typing, not keyboarding. We're getting a RamosLaw.com text.
The class was officially keyboarding. Mm. I'm just telling you.
That's, yeah, well.
It left a brand on me, dude.
It's in New York, so we got to also remember that.
Right.
So let's not forget that. different up there.
On the Ramos, I know, standards. Ain't that Louisiana school system?
I set myself up for that. I was wondering if you were going to say anything.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, I see, whoa, now measurables. Come on, Zach. DK Metcalf would go number one if measurables meant success. I brought up the measurables. That was one component, one of my three-pronged approaches, because I want to make sure that we know where Bradley Chubb stands as just a physical specimen. And being a physical specimen, to a certain degree, matters in pro football. Being able to have an advantage. So when I say he's an inch taller than Mac, he's 20 pounds to 25 pounds heavier than Mac, and runs the same 40 time, that matters when you add it in addition to he's a smart player, when you add it in addition to the actual substance of his rookie year. I mean, to walk in.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing right there.
21 quarterback hits as a rookie?
12 sacks.
12 sacks.
So you can't say DK Metcalf because he hadn't done anything in the NFL.
He hadn't done anything yet.
Bradley Chubb actually has.
That's right. That's right. And then you add in the layer of Vic Fangio. Then you add in the layer of opposite Vaughn. I believe, going back to what Tony Dungy told you when you were in Indianapolis, that the greatest jump is from year one to year two as an NFL player. If that's true, and by the way, it was for Khalil Mack, and I'm doing a lot of comparison here because they were both the fifth overall pick. They both have similar dimensions. Khalil Mack's rookie year, he was a four-sack guy. Played all 16. Played all 16 games his second year, too. He went up to 15 sacks. From 4 to 15.
I think now, he got 10 of those against the Broncos.
Yeah, I think five of them was, or yeah, what was that, yeah, one, right? But I'm saying that to say if he makes an even incremental jump, not the same type of, you know, galaxy jump that Mack made, but if he makes an incremental jump, what does 21 quarterbacks hit go to? 30? What does 12 sacks go to? 16? Like, Bradley Chubb is a special, special player, and I'm expecting greatness. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, low-balling expectations. I'm talking about putting the bar where it should be. I'm expecting greatness. I want a Hall of Fame-type talent to fulfill that talent, and this is what I hope it looks like.
And when you look at defensively what this defense should look like, it should be a lot better than last year. From top to bottom, when you talk about coaching, when you talk about the defensive coordinator, when you talk about the players on the field, you know, you look at the secondary, what makes a good cornerback? What helps a good cornerback out? A great pass rush, okay? What helps good pass rushers out? A great secondary.
Sticky secondary, yep.
Right? So you have a little bit of both right now where you have a really good pass rush, and you also have, you should have a really good secondary. So you combine the two, and it should be better. We haven't even hit the draft with the number 10 overall pick. We might add, you know, an interior pass rusher to the mix. Sure. Now what would it look like?
Right, right.
Katie, bar the door.
Drop Ed Oliver in the middle there.
Right. So, It should only get better and improve. This Chris Harris situation to me is a little concerning. I'm not overly concerned right now, but seeing these things, you know, kind of can get out of control or out of hand quickly, and egos get involved and feelings get hurt. And so hopefully that doesn't happen here, but they have other options back there on the back end. But certainly with Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, and company, along with the back end and the secondary, with the pass rushers, this should be a really, really good defense.
Should be. And I'm talking about Bradley Chubb being the best defender in the NFL. Why not the Broncos being the best defense in the National Football League once again? Why not? Why not?
You know, certainly could happen.
Or at least flirt with it.
Right. You look at the pieces and the possibility of adding a Devin White. And that's just one piece there. I mean, you might get a third rounder that ends up being a really good player from day one. So I like the moves in free agency. I like the position they are in the draft and the possibilities of adding another piece to the puzzle, whether it be a Devin White or an Ed Oliver. If you do that, now the defense takes another big step forward. So I think things are looking up. You got, you know, the evil genius.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio dialing things up. And
there's a lot of things you can point to and say, this is why I believe this group's going to wreak havoc. So
we'll see. We'll see. Bradley Chubb. I mean, I like it, though. I like it. You gave a lot of good facts. I got to know this Kevin Garnett story. You got to retell the Kevin Garnett story. There was something on Barstool Sports talking about Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Take it away.
So here's I'm going to tell the really quick version of this story. This was about 8 years ago or so. I'm living in Albany, New York. I'm in my early 20s, and I get a call from, they have the Pepsi Center here in Albany. They have the Pepsi Arena. And I get a call from one of the managers there and that I know personally says, hey, you want to work for the Celtics tonight? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, we need a liaison. We can't just assign one of our staffs to the Celtics, so they will hire you out, and they will pay you at the end of the night, and you do anything that they ask. If they need more chairs, more towels, more ice, more Gatorade, you're the one to take care of it. So I said, yeah, sure, I'm in. So I show up to the arena at like 3 o'clock, and I came straight from work. I hadn't eaten since breakfast, so just put that in your back of your mind. Eaten. I hadn't eaten since breakfast.
There you go.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm correcting you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Teach. So I'm doing everything that these guys want, all right? Tyronn Lue sent me to the concession stand because he didn't like the pregame sandwich that they made him. I'm just doing odd stuff like this. And I'm sitting on the Celtics bench. I'm sitting right with the trainers, right behind the players. And I was right next to Kevin Garnett. And this guy was just... To say he was a loudmouth would be putting it lightly. Just everything in the book. He's insulting the New York Knicks, and he's just talking you know what. So halftime comes. He and Paul Pierce aren't playing. So they don't even come back out of the locker room. They just hang out in the locker room. Now, the second half, they say, hey, you got a bunch of duties. You got to do this, 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 this. And I'm just running back and forth and back and forth. I didn't even get to watch the game. And I'm filling up these big buckets of ice, these Gatorade tubs of ice, so the players can stick their feet in them after the game. And Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett are sitting in the locker room debating which, you know, WNBA player they would hook up with. And they're just talking crazy. And Garnett is just sounds like he's like just still, you know, whatever. So they have this spread of food. That like a king spread that no one would be able to finish, okay? And I hadn't eaten. Now, at this point, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I'm running back and forth, and I'm actually sweating, and I feel like I'm getting weak. I'm like, yo, you're about to faint. You hadn't eaten since breakfast. It's 9 o'clock at night.
Eating.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. So I'm like...
Now I know why Miss Coronado found you. Holy cow.
So there's this king spread of food, and I'm going back and forth, and I'm looking at it for like 25 minutes. And I go, I got to steal a piece of this because I feel like I'm going to pass out. So I grab a little piece of like a chicken ball or something like that. It was like popcorn chicken was one of the things. And I just threw it in my mouth really quick and kept it going. I hear this booming voice from across the room, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And he said this. Yo, Joe. I'm like, do you say Joe? He goes, don't even do that, Joe. So Joe's a Chicago term for just an average white dude, right? As you say, an average Joe. So there's only four guys in the locker room. Me, Avery Bradley, who's rehabbing an injury, Paul Pierce, and Kevin. Kevin comes over to me, 7 foot, huge. And I'm like 22 years old, stands over me and has his finger in my face and is going, that bleepity bleep is for the bleeping players. Get your bleep out of here and let that door hit you in your bleep on the way out. I mean, it was a full out, like, cuss me out, threw me out of the locker room. So I get thrown out, and one of the managers who's running back doing the same thing, doing, you know, grunt work, he says, he pulls me aside and goes, I want you to know that that is not you. That's Kevin. I've seen him do that to our own assistant coaches. And that kind of gave me some solace that, like, I wasn't being disrespectful. So that was years ago.
Right.
An article comes out from Barstool Sports today.
Too good.
Adrian Wojnarowski had Kendrick Perkins on his podcast. And Perk used to, Perk told the story. This is a quote from Perk, Kendrick Perkins, former teammate. I remember one time we used to order Mangios, right? And we had spaghetti, all types of other
Maggiano's.
Crap. Maggiano's. And we had spaghetti and all other types of crap going on in the buffet line. It was good. So we come in after the game. And everyone knew this rule, right? Hey, man, don't touch the food. Players eat first. This was established day one, right? Dr. McKeon, who's a Celtics doctor. Obviously, he didn't get the message. So I remember like yesterday, KG was wrapped up in his towel coming out of the shower. He's got a towel over his shoulders. He's coming out shining and crap. And he's like, hey, man, what the F are you doing? So everyone turns and is like, oh, crap. He walks over, standing over him with that intimidating, like, hey, man, what the F you doing? Hey, man, players eat first. Matter of fact, give me this bleep. Took the plate. Boom. Threw it in the trash right in front of his face. Hey, man, get out of here until the players finish eating, man. F wrong with you, man. I've already said this.
Wow.
He told another quick story. Lucky gets on the, quote, Lucky gets on the plane. I guess he forgot the memo, too. He comes up, he's getting his food. So KG's like, hey, Lucky, what the F you doing, man? So Lucky's like, what do you mean, Kevin? I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day. Garnett said, I don't give a F. You know the rules. Players eat first. Give me this bleep. Matter of fact, go sit on the back of the plane and don't come back up here until I tell you so. So I'm like, yo, Ticket, chill. Perk, what you want with me today? So now me and him are getting into an argument over Lucky not abiding by KG's rules. So, man, yeah, that was the rule. Don't eat before the players. After that, you can eat whatever you want to eat.
Wow.
End quote.
I should have had your story in here.
My buddy sent me this and said, yo, I couldn't believe what I was reading after you told me that story almost a decade later that it comes out that this was such an established rule. And that manager was right when he said, this wasn't you. Yeah. This is Kevin.
Right. Yeah, unbelievable.
And
what a prick.
He was such a jerk. He was such a bad guy. If you could hear the stuff that he was saying, no one would be a fan of him after. One of the most disrespectful dudes I've ever been around covering sports. Crazy. So I was so pissed off. The second half of that story is I stole Jeff Green's game shorts from the equipment bag. Gave them to my buddy, Anthony DeSouza, still has them.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Hope you guys got a kick out of that.
That's good stuff.
With voluntary minicamp beginning today, screw you, KG. Which guy is more important, Fangio or Flacco? Who is it more important to this week? I want to hear your answer next.